Blog Talk Radio.
You can't take a man and tell him he must be rigid when he flows, you know, like a stream.
I had never seen jujitsu done. And to see this huge person just flying through the air and rolling out, not making a sound. He's very beautiful, very frightening.
He's big and he's fast and he's knowledgeable and he's a gentleman. And he's an exceptional man.
My type of rollouts are not like you might take it, like it just looks beautiful, but it's a very dangerous thing because if I can attack with those, then it's something else, you know. And most people just look at it and say, it's unbelievable, but they don't even see the point because whoever blocked the rollout.
Good evening to my listening audience. This is Professor Tom Curry. It is Thursday, November 29, 2012. I'd like to welcome you to Professor Curry, Warrior Talk Radio. Before we begin our show, I just would like to put out my best wishes to our listening audience who may have been a victim of, or our family or friends, a victim of Hurricane Sandy. It's just it must be very trying for many people who no longer have a vehicle or their home has been washed away or possibly parts of their home, like the ground floor, has been destroyed by the waters. And then the endless repairs for those of you who still have something to salvage of repairing your homes to make them livable again and to fight off what we're all fearing is this black mold that grows so quickly. Whether you're ripping up your sheetrock and taking out your insulation or replacing it, taking up the floorboards, it's just an incredible thing that happened to us over here in the Northeast. So you have my best wishes, and I hope all works out. I hope your insurance companies are cooperating, and I know FEMA's been pretty much on top of things, so. And the military, we had the military today was in our own school, in our driveway. And I asked them, I said, they sent all you guys to come and get me. And, of course, they said, no. This is, we're here knocking on door to door to make sure people have electricity. So it's just an incredible thing, and it's good to see our community and our government pulling together to help us. But tonight's topic is going to be on the winning attitude. And the winning attitude in relation to both competition and survival. It's always a question to everybody, what makes someone successful? And it's not that everybody is inheriting a lot of money and setting themselves and their families up for life. Some people have nothing and aspire to greatness, tremendous greatness and they may not have the genius IQ, but what puts this person on the map? You know, and what is it that's driving them to do what they do and not fall to peer pressure or to get sidelined or to lose focus of the target they're going in? So we're going to try and talk about that tonight, and I'm going to be pulling callers in. And we have someone on queue right now. I'm just going to get to them in a second. And we'll have a good time. We have a couple of guest speakers going to be coming on tonight. We have Master Gregory Hussey from Evolution Martial Arts out in Toms River, New Jersey. And he himself is a national competitor. And I'm going to pull up his profile in just a second. But what is it that drives the competitor, or the warrior, or the soldier, or the fighter, or the law enforcement on the street is confronting something bad and they have to come out on top? And can anyone do that, or do they have it inside? How could someone learn to think like the winner? You know, in law enforcement, we're trained, you don't really have a choice. You have to overcome. You cannot give up. You cannot give up your life. It's not yours to give up. You have to push. You have to overcome sometimes unbearable obstacles. And lastly, what are the dangers and pitfalls of having the winner's edge, meaning that what kind of negativity could pull you from the statue that you just built for yourself, the position or the level of intensity that you've created to forge the world that you choose to live in, not just live in a world that you were born to. You know, we create our environment. We're not a product of the environment. So we're going to get into these things, and I think it'll be pretty interesting. I read somewhere, and I've used it over and over, a quote, and it goes as such. It says, I'm seeing in front of me what I'm trying to accomplish, and I'm relentless. And that truly is the case as far as my mindset, that when I am looking to do something, it's very hard to stop me. And I'll attack the problem at a multitude of levels until I get close to or get to the goal that I'm trying to grab. And it's not a matter of who's going to let me win. What matters is who is going to stop me. In martial arts, I remember training till the bottom of my feet would wear off, because back in the days we trained on rugs. And I would work until exhaustion would hit or my feet were too sore to play with anymore. And then bandage them up and come back the next day like Splinter. So there's a lot going on, and I do have a few callers on. And my first caller is a 4050, and I have 7041. You're in the queue. I'm going to take 4050 first, and let me pick him up. Okay, 941, you're on the line?
Oh, it's Soki.
Soki Little John Davis, what an honor it is to have you on the show, my friend. How are you, Pat?
Us, well, thank God, just hanging in. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm living a dream, my friend. I find it hard to believe that a person like you is ever just hanging in. You are when they came up with the word power, I'm sure they had your name posted somewhere alongside it. And how's your classes coming along, sir?
Well, in Florida, it's interesting. The training is not the same, but, you know, we make it what we make it. You might get a few troopers that could hang, but, you know, it means we keep ourselves in tune, everything as well. So when I come to New York and I see you guys, it's like I become like a junkie. So good to see you, and I just get let loose the way I want and share my drugs with you guys and get you a good fix going.
Oh, sir. Yes, sir. As a matter of fact, we are having our annual snooker seminar on February 9th here in Staten Island, and the flyers are already out, but I had spoken with Soki, and with my fingers crossed, we'll be bringing you out, sir, for the very first time to our school. I'm looking forward to that very, very much.
It'd be an honor to be there. You guys are family. I definitely have to keep tight with the family.
Yes, sir. So when I first heard about you, they said, oh, you don't know Little John. I says, no. I live in a little tiny nutshell. I really left my nest. He says, oh, you gotta meet this person. I says, well, he sounds pretty special. They go, well, he's a killer. I go, yeah, I'm a law enforcement. I don't want to meet any killers. They go, you don't understand. You gotta kill him when you fight him, or he's gonna kill you. And I was like, that's who I want to meet. That's what I like to hear.
Right.
So, did a little bit of research, and looking back into the 70s, Official Karate Magazine, Black Belt Magazine, Fighting Arts, lo and behold, sir, you have full pages of you as a competitor, and from what I've read, there really wasn't a fiercer fighter in our area on the Northeast at the time. So let me, if you don't mind, I just pick your brain. In the 70s, you were the pioneers. And the rules we have today for competition, Kumite, competition karate, weren't quite the same.
Not at all.
The equipment wasn't the same because there was no equipment. What was it like in Phoenix in the 70s?
First of all, it was a treat because when you get into the ring, you better know what you're doing. It was not no, like you said, your pattern was your body, if it could handle the weight that was coming. It was something enjoyable. Aaron Banks would have a lot every month at Sunnyside Garden, Manhattan Center. Those are good stomping grounds. A lot of old fighters, a lot of pioneers came through there. They passed him, but they did leave a good rep behind. But Aaron Banks, I think, was at Sunnyside Garden. He used to keep two Amalams inside. And all the equipment was at he's at my fighter, and I usually put adhesive tape, wrap up my knuckles, and I never really like to wear cups too much, but you normally should have cup and mouthpiece. It's your choice. They wasn't really strict in feeling if you have cups and mouthpiece. That's on your own when you get in there. That's the reason for the Amalams, and the Amalams stay pretty busy. But it was something that was, when you with your training, for me, with Doc and all fighting, you know, I studied Shotokan Karate before I met Doc. I did Shotokan for about 2 years. But all it was part of me, I enjoyed fighting. It was just a part of me. I just like the reality of it. It's like if you get in there and your thing is not together, you know about it. And a lot of my fights before I fought and when I do go to tournaments, I don't like to socialize. I go into a prayer, I meditate, and I take my fight serious. So I take it as, you know, we used to have a lot of comrades, Kareem Al-Ak, a whole bunch of them. It was like, it was interesting, but it was a hot air energy. It's like, you know, we don't like Sinukas, we don't like Doc, we don't blah, blah, his students, we're going to do such and such this month. And it was good. I like that challenge. You know, you come on, bring it to the table, let's get busy, see where it's going. And, you know, they had attitudes and stuff like that. What I like about it is that it's not so much with the tournament, but when you're in the tournament and people have a real air, like they really want to get off the table, it's open. And that's what I like about it. There's no referee, don't need no referee, whatever. We get down and we thump and that's it. You know, you get your point across and they say, okay, but it was like true warrior time. When you come into the event and you can feel, even if you don't train, you can feel in the air, it's like something is going to happen today. And it does, of course, but I'm just saying that's the kind of energy. But today, whew, between politics, favoritism, the true warrior, the Bushido, it's not the same. But, you know, I try to stay old school. I teach my student when you spar, if you punch the chest, feel the spine. And I stay that way. And then I took one to a tournament here. But when I got to the thing, I went to the ring. I went to my, she was a yellow belt. She fought the girl, and I thought she punched the girl in the face. I said, what happened? So she punched the girl. The girl had the body arm, and she punched in the body. The girl went flying. The girl was crying. So the judge wanted to disqualify. I said, crazy? Disqualify her for what? I said, let me show you what I teach my students, you know, but I got it straight anyway, you know, but they are so soft. Yeah, so. But anyway, getting back to the fighting, you had a lot of people on the East Coast versus the West Coast. A good fighter, you get a person that really trains from heart. They're not so much about points. Points is nice. Getting out there to see how you develop yourself, okay? A good tournament fighter is a good street fighter, meaning that I could do the same thing that I do in the tournament that I would do in the street. So my skills doesn't change. The only thing in the street, there's no, you don't hear no yame. You know, and then you embed your mind into that. It's not what you want. So when I do fight in tournaments, I give them enough to let them know what I could have done without really hurting them. But we do get touch, and then, you know, it's enough to let you know, well, I think that was a good point. But a lot of that you don't see today. A lot of the true warriors that up our days, you don't see that. You go to a tournament where that you can sit down and really enjoy and see some good classy, direct fighting. I mean, no tag games. Today is a lot of tag games. A touch, fancy, flary kicks and all that. That's pretty and all, but there's nothing direct with that. I mean, when you get full contact, I might be talking too long. You let me know when you want me to cut loose.
No, go ahead. You sound great. Go ahead.
Yeah, but when you get into your zone and get into a fight, my thing, what I used to do, we had one time at Sunnyside Garden. I think it started about 9, but it went to about 2 in the morning. That drains your energy. My thing is that I get away, I hear my name called, I come out and I fight. Whoever I'm going to fight, I don't like to associate with. I don't like to talk with no one because that's a different air comes in. And we're not there for that kind of conversation. We're there to thump, okay? That's the old days. We call it thump. You get in there, you're going to fight, you know? So there's a lot that, you know, even when I fought at the Garden one time, I think it was Jim Lowe, one of them I fought with, Banks was having something, and we was in the locker room, and he says to me, He says, I don't like talking with people. He says, little John, now what are we going to do? I'm like, what are we going to do? So we're going to fight. So he says, well, you know, it'd be nice if you let me catch you with a suit. I said, oh, boy, here we go. So when we got into the ring, I guess he was fantasizing on that, but as soon as he got in the ring, I kicked his mouth. I kicked two of his teeth out, I think, or something. But I got disqualified, you know, but I don't play with what I do. When we come in there, you give me what you got. I don't know what you have, but it's the thing that we teach and we train each other. You know, if you come out that way, give me what you got, I'm going to give you what I have. Not so much to hurt each other, but exchange in a skillful way. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
And a lot of people today don't do that. The warrior spirit is not, you know, it's like a lot of hope. Right? You know, you have a lot of people out here that are talking about different states. I represent the dark 100%, and you have a few other peoples as well. But as far as fighting, getting out, demonstration is nice. Kata is beautiful. Self-defense is nice. But can you do the same thing when you're fighting? I could do the techniques, same techniques I do on a person standing fighting. That's a good, I think that's a good martial artist, you know? But as far as the street versus tournament versus street, is that if you have the heart and you're a true warrior and you're training right, the street is just as comfortable as tournaments,
sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Sir, I want to back up for a second. And, and you pretty much said something, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you did roughly 2 years of Shotokan, you trained in Bijutsu and you trained in Tsunukis. And is it safe to say that you went and tested Kumite Ru, aside from survival on the street, but you tested, you kind of created a hybrid karate system from your experience and tested it on the 70s tournament circuit. Is that safe to say?
You know what it is, and that's another thing that we have. When they say separate, I have the Kumite Ru. It's all one. Everything that I do, who you think I learned from? I learned from Professor B and Doc. And my other instructor was a Shotokan. So embedded and combining all these things that I'm taught is just Kumite is just a free fighting style. So it's not nothing separate. So it just seems to be a separate thing come about. But anyway, whatever it may be, is that everything that I learn, everything that I work on, I apply it. I get into fights. We get into a clinch, I tell you. I sweep you out. So this is all what we do. This is our forte, what we work on. We jiu-jitsu people, you know. So, like, we get into a clinch. I think one time I got into a clinch with and I threw them, but they said, oh, you can't do that. But that's just a natural reaction is what we do, you know. So they didn't get too much clash no more. So stay distant, you know. But a lot of the fighting, if you apply what you train and work that in your fighting, you find there's a lot of good fighters. But you see people that do more lip work and more body work, it speaks out. The truth will come out. You know what I'm saying? So, but for me personally, what I do at my age, still doing what I'm doing, I'm training, I train, I get up, work out, say my prayers, do what I have to do, but I continue my training. I know what I have to do for me. So as far as whatever belt level that you want to see, you always see me. When you see me, you see Doc, you see Professor V. It'll always be up to the sharp point where it should be. So it's ongoing as far as fighting. Always stays on that. So the thing between tournament, street, if your mind is set right, it'll work out perfect. Liz?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Just one last question is Sophie, in competition, the winning attitude, just before you'd bow into whoever it was, what was going, because you had some very heavy hitters you had to deal with in your competition day, what was going through your mind as far as the guy in front of you?
Okay, when you for competition, people get egos. I use it as a growth. Okay, things that I'm working on. The person in front of me, I don't know what he knows. He don't know what I know, but I know what I'm going to do. So, in terms of the fighting, when we get started, from the first maybe few seconds, I know what I want to know in terms of what our fight is going to go and what I'm going to do. So, in terms of your strategy, your planning. You can't say, well, I'm going to fight with you. I'm going to catch this guy with a front round. That's a nice thought. In the midst of your fighting, you know how to strategize it, you can do it. I can work on that. That's why when I work, I move different angles. I work left side, right side. I don't have a favorite side. People have favorite side. My favorite side is my right side. You fight and you get your right side jammed up. You sit in a fight. What happened with the left? You're in trouble. So you structure both sides, you know. So people don't know how to work much with their hands. They favor the legs. Why do they favor the legs? Because of the distance. They don't like to get close in fighting. I like close. I like distant fights. I like floor work. Whatever comes in is comfortable if you're a good fighter. Most people are afraid to get hit. Get hit sometimes. See what it feels like, you know. It takes the reality because you get into a street fight, somebody cold cock you. That's not the end of the fight, I hope, you know. But a lot of things in terms of your conditioning, you got to really stay as a true warrior. Take your time. As far as the belt things, you know, the different things, people jumping ranks and everything, trying to prove what you're about. My thing is on the mat. When you get on the mat, it tells you, I like to have a class, 5th degrees, 8th degrees. Take off your belt. Get on the mat and let it speak for itself. Know what I'm saying? If that's what you are, it'll show what you are. It shouldn't have to go ahead and say, most people boast, I'm this, I'm that. It gives me a headache sometimes I hear these things. I have to sit back and smile at it. I do. But does that answer your question a little bit?
It does, my friend. Sir, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. You are certainly a true warrior.
No problem. And I'll be
something that we all look up to, trying to aspire to your strength and skill level. If anybody is listening, visit Soaky Little John's site. It's pskfederation.com. If you'd like to speak to him about possibly having him in for the seminar, you won't be disappointed. He throws the best seminars around. He has a contact number of 941-592-4293. Don't call him too late. No. So I'm looking forward to having you down here, my friend.
Okay, Lord willing, I'll be there. You be safe and watch your back now. Us.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much. Okay. We have our next caller is 7041. 3174, you're in the queue. 7759, I see you. I'm going to get to you. I'm pulling up 7041. 7041, you're on the air.
How are you, sir? What a fantastic job you're doing here. Greg Hussey.
Master Hussey, what a pleasure it is having you on our show. How are you, my friend?
I am fantastic, and the honor is always mine, sir.
For our listening audience, we have with us Master Gregory Hussey. He is the owner of Evolution Martial Arts in Palms River, New Jersey. EvolutionMartialArts.com is his website. I have a little background on you, my friend, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but starting in the 90s, you started winning the top 10 nationals. You are winners of the Maryland Open, the Pennsylvania Super Championships, New York Open, second Arnold Schwarzenegger Fitness Classic team competition. Was ranked top 10 in the country and had a nationally ranked team called Maximum Martial Arts.
You got it,
some
sir.
Some of your members went on to have starring roles in Mortal Kombat.
The live tour, yes, sir. We traveled around most of the eastern seaboard. My first recognized national tournament was the Top 10 Nationals, which was actually in Wildwood. And I have to say it was an amazing event. You know, I got to actually witness some phenomenal competition, and then to be part of it is just amazing in and of itself. But I love this topic. You know, it's a different thought process for different people, and I really believe that it's really all about challenging the person.
Now, Master Hussey is not just a competitive fighter. He's also a traditional forms competitor as well as an open forms competitor. And, sir, you were, and I could be mistaken, you were probably one of the first few to come out in the open forms, because in the 90s, this is when this thing really started opening up to the aerial techniques that you're pretty much well known for.
Yeah, you know, my parents instilled a lot in me. Even growing up as a kid, you know, I kind of started competing early in like 1987. And they always encouraged me to fight and do forms. You know, my mom and father, obviously my dad, being a competitor, a phenomenal martial artist himself, he always said, listen, you know, it's not just one thing. You know, do it all. You're here. Why not? You know, and I always fought and did traditional forms. I love doing traditional forms. And then having the opportunity to do an open form and really get out there and push yourself to the limits really kind of is – everything is its own expression, you know. I thoroughly enjoyed what Soki was saying earlier, you know, about how using it in the street is comparable to competitive. And he's most certainly absolutely right, you know. But then there's the element of let me – completely challenge myself and try new things and different things and see what I can do and how far I'm willing to push myself. And that goes from open forms with doing some form of new flip and new kick and new twist to doing traditional forms and making it sharper and stronger and harder, you know, and then going right into fighting and, you know, figuring out, hey, you know what, I'm going to use my kicking distance to set up my hands, and just taking everything to each own personal next level.
So you're talking about a lot of work. You're talking about a lot of hard work.
I'm talking about a lot of fun, because for me, if it's fun, I'm not working. I just thoroughly love what I do. You know, Albert Einstein said, if you find a job you love, you'd never work a day in your life. And you know what? I love training. So hard work, you know what? Yeah, you could say hard work, but I could tell you I had some of the greatest times of my life.
Yes, sir. Now, let me ask you, at a national level, you're going out and you see someone out there doing an open form, so to speak. Or better yet, we'll stick with the fighting. You see someone, and you know this person's nationally ranked also, and part of you wants to test your skill, because part of the fun was your hard work, and you know you put the time, and you know you practice your combination and your timing and closing the distance. You know you have two techniques that are pretty much unstoppable, but you know this guy does too, and he's also legit. He didn't just order his belt from one of these companies and pop into a national ring. He's in there to win. If you recall, what would go through your mind when you bow in with this person? What was your mindset? What was your winning mindset, should I say?
You know, I can't ever say that I would dissect an opponent. You know, it's not like MMA, and I do it. I don't have time, unless you're familiar with somebody, you know, when you compete, you know, hey, you know, this guy is going to be at this tournament. You know, I know what he can do. It doesn't happen that often, except for when you get to the really extreme levels. But you go in and you just focus on what you can do. You know, you're watching him. You know, I always tell even my students, you know, when they're competing, even at an orange belt level, you know, they give you all the answers are in front of you unless you're going first. You know, if I'm competing and I'm, you know, watching somebody fight, I'm not watching them. I'm studying them. I am watching each and every one of their moves so that I'm well prepared to enter the ring. Now, if I'm first up, I didn't have that opportunity. So I can't necessarily focus on what he's doing. I have to bait him into getting him to do what I want him to do. I can't just say, well, you know, he's a good kicker. I have to make him kick because I know my counters will work. So I have to fight smart and not hard. You know, for me,
physical
point fighting is like being a sniper. You know, you could get in there and you could bang and brawl, and 90% of your techniques are going to hit the shoulders, the hips. They're going to be glancing blows. To be a successful point fighter, you have to be like a sniper. You have to be accurate, and you have to be very, very precise at when you're doing techniques. And then you can apply that concept full fighting and wind up hitting harder and more accurate.
Yes, sir. just a quick note for we have quite a few people on the call. 7759, we see you. We have one call in front of you. 3174, we know you're on 19 minutes. We're just going to talk a little bit more with Master Hussey. Master Hussey, at your dojo in Tom's River, you have a UFC style ring.
And yes, sir.
Is it okay to say that you've had some world champions train there?
We have had some of the top fighters in the world come in to use and train in our facility.
I have to say,
you know, as a martial artist, you know, each and every one of them, so very respectful, honorable. They come in, they show respect to the facility. You know, top guys will come in and they'll bow in, they'll shake my hand, and you know, some of them I know a little better than others, you know, and they're always so gracious. And I think sometimes the MMA industry gets a raw deal.
Yeah. Well, you know, martial arts is a hard road for everybody, but it's a road worth taking. And a friend of mine said to me once, if the road is not hard, it's not worth riding.
Yes, sir.
All talented and hardworking people are going to survive and put this on this map on the face of everybody's screen. Master Hussey, do you have any upcoming seminars or anything you'd like to talk about at your dojo?
We don't really have any upcoming seminars yet. You know, I got to work on getting that superstar Professor Master Curry down at our school. I know I've been talking to my students about it. So, you know, I guess I'm gonna have to reach out to him and try and coax him to come and visit me.
We can work on that for sure, sir.
Yes, sir.
If you want to look up Master Hussey, check out evolutionmartialarts.com.
It is an NJ in there, sir. I apologize. It's evolutionmartialartsnj.com.
Yes. And you could also check him out on Facebook. He has a page. You would definitely like that. It's well worth checking this young man out because he is a truly talented person. I've seen him work. I've seen his dexterity. And also a Sanukis practitioner now. While we're on Sanukis, before I let you go, with all your training, you've crossed into the Sanukis world. This competition now is a street situation. Do you look at it a little differently? Or
I can thoroughly say wholeheartedly that I absolutely love the Sanukis. The techniques, the mindset of every instructor that I've met has been so intense, so amazing, and so not the norm from a lot of schools out there. I thoroughly love it. And I'm so glad that I have the opportunity to study, you know, and starting all the way over, you know, it's good to be the student again. You know, it's good to get on the floor and shown these wonderful and amazing techniques that, I'm not going to lie, I get so excited. I'm like a little kid on Christmas. I come back running to all my black belts and my high ranks, and I'm, hey, look at what I just learned, and check this out. And, you know, they get as excited learning that as they do what we do here.
You know, I used to train it when Warriors, when Worlds Collide, and I would go to work, and I'd be a little beat up sometimes, most of the time. Sometimes I'd be beat up. Most of the time I was beat up. And I had bruises. and they would say to my fellow officers, what happened to you? I was over at that. I was training over there. Oh, are you going to go back there to beat you up? I said, yeah, it's really cool, man. You should come with me.
See? It's fun.
Some did. Some did. Some didn't. Sometimes I'd crawl out of there. Some days I'd crawl in. But I don't know how people don't train in the martial arts. And between the styles, we have the United States Black Eyed Kempo Federation. We have some Lucas Free Jiu-Jitsu. There's a lot for everybody. But, my friend, I'm not going to hold you. I know the young ladies, probably, you guys probably haven't eaten dinner yet. Thank you for calling, Master Hussey.
Sir, the honor and privilege is always mine, sir. Thank you for doing this. You know, we try and plug you on Facebook as well. You know, you do such a good job that, you know, we want your handsome face all over the place.
Oh, thank you.
I'll talk to you soon, sir. Always.
Bush. We have coming on now. We have see here. We have 3174. 3174, you on the air?
Yes, sir.
How are you, my friend?
Very well, thank you. Yourself?
Just living the dream. 7759, we're going to come to you. 4050, I see that you're there. I'm going to get you too. How are you doing there, my friend? This is Anthony from Brick.
Yes, sir.
How are we doing today, my friend?
All right. I'll try to be quick. I know you got people waiting. I know your topic is winning attitude and survival, and I just wanted to share with your listening audience the story I had already shared with you the day after the hurricane.
Okay.
As you know, I care for my parents on a daily basis, and they're unfortunately in a rough area that's getting rougher, and they were without power. And on my way home from there late at night, there were no traffic lights, street lights, any lights whatsoever except headlights. And unfortunately, I ran into a somewhat road rage incident with someone. And I tried to avoid it, as you've always told me to do. And I kind of got boxed in like an animal. And I didn't have any other choice but to get out of the car. And the guy charged me. And luckily, I was probably about a foot taller and at least 100 pounds heavier than him. So when he got close enough to realize that, he kind of backpedaled fast. And I wasn't going to chase him. I wanted to save my energy for my punch. I didn't want to run out of breath chasing his stupid ass. So he shot his mouth off. I told him, just, you know, shut up, put your hands up, leave, you know. And he went a little crazy screaming and whatnot, and his last words when he ran around his car were, I'm going to shoot you. And that's never happened to me before. I was really taken back. I had to think quick, and I had to keep that competitive winning attitude that I always have going. So the only thing I could do was undo my sweatshirt and say, not if I shoot you first. And his eyeballs opened up. They were brighter than my headlights. And I never saw a red BMW take off so fast. But I tell you what, man, besides having a tough situation with that hurricane and all, that was just a strange thing. I mean, I never expected something like that to happen, but I was thankful that it didn't go any further, and thankful that I was prepared for that situation. But unfortunately, those desperate times require desperate measures, and you know, I was just solely looking to take care of my folks and make sure that they were safe. But everything happens for a reason, and that night there was a reason why I had to open up my sweatshirt. It was just unbelievable. But I guess, you know, with everything going on, you know, storm-related and everything else, this poor wimp was scared, you know, and you know, he probably had other stuff bothering him too. But
right,
you know, you're gonna threaten to do something like that to somebody, you should just keep your mouth shut and do it. Don't take the time to let somebody else make a move, because that was his mistake. Actually, his first mistake was blocking me in, and his second mistake was offering to do what he was going to do, because you never know what somebody's capable of, you know?
Well, you know,
anyway.
Dr. Powell used to say, it's no fun when the rabbit's got the gun. And
yeah.
I recall one time I arrested somebody for gun possession. And it was just out of the corner of my eye, I was with my boss, and we were talking and drinking coffee, and at the corner of my eye, I seen the outline of it was a handgun, but it was so tight against his body. And I says, he's got a, the way he touched it, I knew exactly what it was from my experience and working. That was the kind of work I did. So we spun around, and there was two guys, and my boss took one, I took the other. And he says, how did you, what do you got, like ESP? I says, no, it was just coincidence. I looked at him, and I seen what I knew was a firearm, because I carry firearms, and I work with firearms, and I play with them. I says, I know exactly what it is. But it was funny, you know, people try to fight you in court and make up one excuse or another. And one of the things that came up was that one of the attorneys says, well, how did you know that wasn't a stapler in his pocket? You know, and I says, well, I don't have x-ray vision, but I have experience. I have street experience. And I knew that wasn't a stapler. I knew the L shape of the firearm. I knew what its impression looked like underneath the garment. I knew how a person gestures to it. And I just plugged in the dots that made the case so much more solid. But by you opening up your winning attitude, your survival instinct, by you opening up your shirt, and you have never carried a gun ever, by you opening up your shirt, he has no idea what you have it inside your jacket. He doesn't know anything, but he knows he's in trouble, and his fight or flight had just kicked in. But that was a brilliant move, my friend, because you overcame something that could have gotten dead. And you said it best. For what? What happened? Did he lose his house? Did he lose his car? Was he obviously stressed out that in a bad situation now you're going to get into something like that and God knows what happens? Bob, I'm glad you did what you did.
Just unbelievable, Tom. You know, you got to think, and you got to think quick, and it's not something to brag about, but, you know, Christ, I mean, you say what if, you know?
Right.
What if? I mean, what if he didn't say nothing, you know, and just pulled something out? I mean, it's just, you just never know what stupid people are capable of, you know?
Right.
It's like you can never underestimate people's stupidity because they just, it's just unbelievable. But
yes,
that
sir.
Was that was my that was my little story I just wanted to share with your audience.
Well, I appreciate that, my friend, and it's always a pleasure talking to you. Best to you and your family, and I'll speak to you very soon.
Yes, sir. You have a good night.
Thank you, Lincoln.
Bye.
Okay, we have 4050. I'm going to pull you up now. Four zero five zero, you're on the air. I can hear you barely. Are you in a bad spot over there? 4050. Okay, you know what? I'm going to put this one back on mute. 4050. If you can hear me, call back in. I'll pull you right on. Okay, so. A lot of good stories here, a lot of good things about competition, a lot of correlations between competition and fighting. In as such that you've worked your techniques so well to the ring or kumite that you pretty much know that you can fire out and your reverse punch is going to connect, your combinations will work. Your sweep is going to work on a live body because you're used to working a live body, except now you're not having to hold back. And for those crossed into the grappling arts, jiu-jitsu, tanukis, you know that there's, you know, your finishes might be a little bit different, but when you attack, you may not just be just throwing a punch, just a punch, or you may be just hitting this person to get close enough to grab him so that you could throw and break him. I mean, take him down. But, so we kind of know what it is that drives the competitor. It's it's you want to win. And you want to come up on top. You don't want to be on the bottom. And so many times with my students, I've seen some very talented young men and women crying because they didn't win. It wasn't that they didn't win the trophy. It's that they didn't win the competition, that their drive was so intense at such a young age that the tears come out and then there's very little consoling just to say, keep trying. Some people will tell you, you know, you're born with that winning attitude. And I guess to some extent, some people are born with the winning attitude. But on another note,
know, you can train someone to believe in themselves and build up the person's self-esteem to the point that, yes, they will also have a winning attitude, both in life and in competition. And, you know, I don't experiment with my adults, but I know what the arts have given me. I know what Grandmaster Bynes has given me. I know what Dr. Powell has given me. And I tell my, you know, I get my adults to compete. And then, you know, at 40, 30, 20, 50, they do it. And at first, they're hesitant. You know, it's, I can't do it. Well, you're not allowed to say I can't in the dojo. You know, I can't means I won't. But I haven't done that in the past means I haven't accomplished it yet, so I can give it a try. And they do. And they get in there, and they're nervous as heck, and whether it's Kumite or whether it's forms, they go in and they do it, and they overcome things. And people can learn to have a winning attitude in it. And the winning attitude is very healthy for you, too. I mean, you know, laughing the world laughs with you. Crying, you cry alone. You know, smiling, laughing, it's healthy endorphins. It's good for you. It's good to have a winning attitude. It's very good to believe in yourself, something that everyone needs to do. 4050, I'm going to try you again. Negative. Okay. So let me go forward here. Some of the people that I've admired in my training and in life, and I've learned from things they've written. One of the people. Hello? 4050?
Yes.
Okay. One of the people I've admired is a guy named Yasuhiro Yamashita. Now, some people say Yamashita. Some people like myself say Yamashita. And if I'm pronouncing it wrong, I apologize. But who he was Japan's most successful competitor with an unbroken record of 203 wins. He was a judoka. He practiced judo as Olympic judo champion. At the 1984 Olympics in Los Angeles, Yamashita injured his leg competing against Arthur Schnabel of Germany. And he wrote down in one of his memoirs or possibly one of his books, he wrote some in substance, he wrote this. He said, suddenly I heard an inner voice saying, what's wrong with you? Did you come to the Olympics to hurt your leg and lose this match? And he went on to win with a pad leg. He pulled his tendons or something. But if you Google or YouTube him, you'll see him limping out into the match and beating his opponent. Yasuhiro Yamashita, his training at that early age was eclectic. I've watched him on, and you can catch this on YouTube, him duck walking through towns. And he's working with weighted pulleys, and he's pulling the pulleys just like he would be pulling a person in judo form, and he's racking the weights. An incredible, highly disciplined competitor. Yamashita's record, his total record at his retirement was 528 wins and only 16 defeats with 15 draws. He wrote down, he says, I was never satisfied with my achievements, so I was striving for better results all the time. This kind of falls into visualization. What is it that you're trying to achieve, this winning attitude? Is it that you're trying to achieve a placement in your employment? Is it you're trying to achieve a black belt? Is it you're trying to run this marathon? Can you see yourself doing it? You know, what do you see yourself doing now? If I want my black belt, and I know your average time is maybe 4, 5, or 6 years, how am I preparing for that? How am I biding my time or managing my time to do that? If it's for school, winning attitude, you know, who are the winners? The honorable students, of course. How do they do that? Does everybody have the photographic memory that you can read a book or hear a lesson one time? Or is it some kind of structure to your your learning process that will allow you to achieve those goals, such as, you know, audiobooks, such as, you know, listening to your text with something like a Kindle or another device, so that you can not only read it, you can hear it, you can write it. What's your method for success? What's your method to be a winner? Yasuhiro wrote, as far as his visualization, he was determined to realize as a child that he wanted to win at the Olympic Games. And one of the other things he wrote was he was fortunate to have the right associates and circumstances. Now, what does that mean? If I want to be a winner, am I going to hang around someone who is glum, never smiling, miserable, Mr. Misery? No, I can't. I don't have time. If I'm trying to achieve my goal, whatever it is, I got to be upbeat, focused, and I have to move forward. And a friend of mine recently says, he says, I never fall down. I'm always falling forward. I'm learning by my mistakes. I'm moving in the right direction at all times. Avoid negativity. You know, at times people, you know, they give you advice. Is it advice for you or is it advice for them? Is it benefiting you or is it benefiting them? You got to listen to what you're hearing. And then, you know, a good friend of mine on his answering machine, it says, nothing can stop a man or woman who won't quit, never quit. Don't lie, as far as I'm concerned, don't allow people to tell you that you should quit when you know it's something that you could achieve if you try hard enough. And I'm sure everybody on this call could achieve great things if they try. Another person I'd like to mention, another inspiration to myself, is Muhammad Ali, also known as the greatest. Now, he had 56 wins, 5 losses, with 37 KOs. He's one of the most charismatic celebrities of our time, with amazing footwork that was unprecedented before him. Ali had amazing hand speed and combinations, and I once read that recently had studied film of Ali, who threw a lead hand jab that was quite similar to a backhand. And this is a man who certainly had the winning attitude. And to watch films of him training is just incredible. At the level he was training and the fighters that he used to bring in to fight him, and the road work and the sacrifice and the dieting that this man spent on. And not only that, psychological warfare. I mean, out of his mouth, you know, he had an array of rhetorics and rhyme that either entertained or enraged his competition. You know, and I read once in Sum and Substance, he wrote something that sounds like this. He says, I hated every minute of training, but I said, don't quit. Suffer now and live the rest of your life as a champion. And he was a champion, quite unlike any other boxer I've ever seen. You know, and something commonly referred to as the sweet science. Another person I studied, Bruce Lee. He wrote things like, as you think, you shall become. Do you think of yourself as being successful? Do you think of yourself as having the winning attitude? Or are you constantly in your mind falling short? Are you falling short because you don't believe in yourself? And maybe you weren't taught to believe in yourself. Well, if you aren't taught to believe in yourself, there's enough things you can pick up to start believing in yourself. Because if you can't do it, no one will. In one of our emails recently, I picked up on something he wrote. He said, the key to immortality is first living a life worth remembering. You know, if you constantly are putting obstacles in front of the things you want in this life, where are you going? What's your GPS taking you? Is it taking you to a place where you want to be? Or are you constantly putting yourself in the parking lot? So it's a lot to think about as far as having a winning attitude. Jim Rohn wrote something that I often refer to, you know, and it involves a plan. Winning attitude, if you don't have it, let's get you one. You know, let's devise a plan to get there. And Jim Rohn wrote, if you go to work on your plan will go to work on you. You know, are you flying blind, or do you have a destination to get to the place that you want to be at, you know, in the winner's circle? Is your journey mapped out? or you're just looking to land on your destination by chance. You know, in martial arts, you know, you're constantly pushing students to do better. Children and adults have to do better. And you see the gauge of level of intensity as the students come through. You see, you know, you see it through the testing, or you see it through their pre-testing, and you see, well, this person worked pretty hard, this person's not taking it serious enough, or they don't realize the potential that they have, and the potential of the student of martial arts is phenomenal. Just to get in the door is phenomenal, let alone as an adult, what's easily grasped with just a little bit of motivation. Visualization, seeing what you're trying to accomplish, what is it that I want here, and is it to obtain a black belt, or is it to survive this confrontation? You know, if you believe and achieve, if you don't believe in your ability, who will? You know, how do you overcome the unbearable odds against you? I was listening, and I mentioned this in one of our other shows, and Ewing Chamberlain said it in Warriors Within. He said, and I can't quote him exactly because it was brilliant, he says, when a warrior is faced with innumerable odds and he has no place to retreat, he attacks, he goes forward. As I was talking to Master Hussey earlier, you know, I said, you did a lot of hard work. He says, no, it was fun. Yeah, it was fun, but it was fun hard work. And hard work, in order to be in the winning circle, in order to have a winning attitude, it's going to take a lot of work. You know, we're referring to martial arts. If you're doing karate, you better start kicking. You got to start stretching. You know, you have to start going through your forearms. You have to start getting your cardio up. You know, if it's ring experience, you have to get into the ring. You have to, you know, you got to hit. And occasionally you're going to get hit. You got to take your shots. You got to take your falls. You become conditioned to that skill level that you're looking to achieve. Now, there are no overnight black belts. It's really a year, 2 year black belt doesn't really exist either. You know, it's a matter of how much time you're willing to put into it. And time itself is one of the biggest excuses I hear as far as martial arts training, because we all know martial arts training helps you in every aspect of life, and some will say, I don't have time. 24 hours in a day is a lot of time. If you are sleeping 8 and you travel 2 hours a day, that's 9, 10, you're working 8 hours, that's 18 hours. You're eating for what, 2 hours? It's 20 hours. You got 4 hours left. Can you get in 45 minutes of the 4 hours? Most people can. You know, what does it mean? Does it mean that you may have to get up earlier and go to work, or be tired at night just after your training? You know, it's set hours in the week to work on your plan, whatever your plans may be. And lastly, when we go back to negativity, never allow someone to dictate your achievements. No one could put a cap on what you could do. In my own instance, had I told my father that I was going to teach martial arts for a living, I think he would have wigged out, and I would have had a problem on my hands. So I always had it in the back of my head, and I kept it quiet. But I knew my long-term goal, that's where I was going to wind up. And there's another saying I read years ago. Never take someone's opinion of you over yourself, over your own opinion. Never take someone's opinion of yourself over your own opinion. What is your opinion of yourself? You feel like a winner? Can you be a winner? You want to? Of course you do. And be wary of advice from so-called friends. One-eyed monster, jealousy, sometimes will falsely advise you for their own benefit, not yours. I hope everyone listening today, I hope everyone listening to this show tonight learned a little bit from it. I certainly have. It's always a pleasure coming on the air with you. And if you want to reach us, we're at mastercurry.com. Or if you want to reach me on Facebook, I'm at tomcurry.com. It's a pleasure and an honor to be here. I stand on the shoulders of giants, my instructors, Grandmaster Art Bion, and, of course, Dr. Moses Powell. I wish everybody good night. Each one teach one, to the wall and back. Bush.